Welcome to the ProPublica podcast. Last week, ProPublica and our partners at Frontline and the New Orleans Times-Picayune revealed that an order circulated among New Orleans police authorizing officers to shoot looters. While some of the details remain unclear, the order shows just how confusing it was for officers to determine how much force they could use to combat looting. The orders may also explain why 11 civilians were shot by police officers. However, it does not explain why the post-shooting investigations were flawed and sometimes looked like an attempt to cover up the shooting rather than get to the bottom of exactly what happened. ProPublica's Quadia Muhammad spoke to Thompson last week about the impact these new findings will have on the ongoing federal investigation of the NOPD and what can be done to fix some of the problems that exist in the department today. She began by asking him about the history of corruption of the police department.
What you need to understand is that over the last 30 years, the department has been the subject of one scandal after another. If you go back to about 1980, you had an incident in the Algiers neighborhood where police attacked and killed and tortured several African-American folks. Officers were prosecuted, they were sent to prison, the department was turned upside down, and federal prosecutors portrayed this as a retaliation by police officers for the shooting of an officer in public housing in that neighborhood. When you got to 1990, you had what was essentially a modern-day lynching of a man named Adolph Archie. There was radio traffic by police officers saying, somebody kill him, kill him. And he was beaten to death, allegedly by police officers. Nobody was disciplined for that. Nobody was prosecuted. When you come to the mid-90s, you have guys like Len Davis. Len Davis was a cop who was also a drug dealer, and he was being scrutinized by the FBI. They were listening to his phone calls, and they overheard him calling in an assassination on a citizen who had complained against him. The FBI wasn't able to get there in time, and Len Davis's hitman did, in fact, kill this woman, Kimberly Marie Groves. You also had guys robbing banks, doing deals with the mob, all kinds of stuff at that point in the mid-90s. You had, in fact, two officers sent to death row from the New Orleans Police Department, Len Davis, and a woman named Antoinette Frank. And that's pretty remarkable. Not really, I don't believe there's any other police department in the United States of America that has two officers currently awaiting their sentence on death row. Bring us up to 2005, Hurricane Katrina. In the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, there were 11 shootings in the immediate wake, the week right after the storm happened and the levees failed. 10 of those are questionable, dubious shootings. Now, these things that happened then come against that backdrop of the department having this deep molecular level of corruption that has gone on and has largely been unimpeded for more than 30 years.
Okay, so has there been an attempt to overhaul the entire New Orleans police system?
That's a great question. You know, back in the mid-90s, the U.S. Department of Justice was down there. They were dealing with this Len Davis matter, the guy, the drug dealer, cop, slash, hitman. And they were saying, well, you know, we have this new law. It's the 1994 Violent Crime Control Act, and that allows us to come in and use civil remedies to reform corrupt police departments. Police departments that show a, quote, pattern and practice, end quote, of abusing people's civil rights. And they thought, you know, maybe we should use this and really overhaul the department from top to bottom. At that time, the department had a new chief from out of town, Richard Pennington, who had come in from D.C., and the city had a new mayor, Mark Morial. And the mayor and the chief said, look, we're going to reform this department. We're going to handle it. We're going to make it better. So justice backed off. What you see now, 15 years later, is justice is coming back to the police department, and they're saying, hey, we should have used that law back then in the mid-90s. We should have gone in into the civil courts and overhauled this department, and now we're planning to do that. And I think what you'll see in the coming months is that the Justice Department will come up with a checklist of improvements that the police department needs to make. They're going to need to have a better citizen complaint system. They're going to need to have an early warning system for officers who are getting into trouble so that before they end up killing somebody, they can be disciplined, they can be retrained, or they can be booted off the force. You're going to need to have a change in training about the use of force and a change in training in general. And I would expect that justice in the next several months will put together a checklist like that, and you will see the Justice Department and the New Orleans Police Department go into court together and say, okay, we are entering what's called a consent decree or a consent order, and we want the court to oversee this checklist. And until all these things are checked off, we don't want the court to quit monitoring the police department.
Okay. Now, AC, if we go back 5 years, many of the shootings that occurred happened after a rumor was circulated that Louisiana was under martial law. However, only one person, Henry Glover, who you mentioned and who you've reported on extensively, was allegedly committing a crime when he was shot. You found 10 other cases where the police shot unarmed civilians. Why is it that some police officers decided to shoot while others did not?
Well, first I should clarify, it's not clear in some of these cases whether people were armed or not. That's a thing to put out there. So in the case of Matt McDonald, who was shot with an assault rifle in the back, possibly while lying down or bending forward, according to the forensics, police alleged that he had a handgun in a plastic bag, and they eventually checked a gun into evidence. Now, the problem with that is his family does not believe that story at all, and they were never told that the police killed him. It was me that told the family that he was killed by the police. And the problem with New Orleans Police Department at this point is that if you have cops saying, okay, Matt McDonald had a gun, it was in a plastic bag, you know, we were afraid for our lives, so we had to kill him. Well, we've already seen the Danziger Bridge case. And in the Danziger Bridge case, where six people were shot, they were unarmed, five current and former cops have pled guilty. What's coming out in the court files is that officers allegedly planted a gun at the scene of the crime to make it look like this was a two-way gun battle rather than a barrage of gunfire fired by police at unarmed people. So, you know, any fact that you get in any of these incidents is subject to question. What you see, the patterns that you see here are that people were shot in the back. People were shot who may not have been armed or weren't armed, definitely. People were shot possibly while involved in really minor property crimes, like Henry Glover. That's the allegation there. And so you see all these times where officers are using deadly force where they would not normally be allowed to use deadly force.
And that brings us to our next question. As all this new information does come to light, has there been an attempt on behalf of the families who've lost loved ones to file civil suits?
Yeah, there's a lot of civil suits going on right now. There's a raft of them. And what's interesting is that a lot of these civil suits are stayed while the criminal proceedings unfold. So for the people who were shot on the Danziger Bridge or lost loved ones who were shot on the Danziger Bridge, those cases are all on hold. In the Henry Glover matter, we've seen a few lawsuits filed by his relatives. And it's interesting to see whether those suits will be stayed. I think they probably will. Family of Danny Brumfield, who was shot in the back fatally by police officers in front of the convention center, with a single close-range blow from a shotgun, his family sued and received a $400,000 settlement. At the time, nobody was really paying attention to that case. That was a couple years back. And now the federal government is investigating that case as well, and they've sent target letters to the officers involved in that matter.
Okay. And AC, during Hurricane Katrina, we were bombarded with numerous reports and images of New Orleans residents engaging in illegal behavior, stealing and robbing on the streets. I particularly remember the report of the raping of women and children in the Superdome. In the police officer's defense, was it necessary to engage in deadly force as a means to get the Crescent City under control?
There's kind of two things going on there with that. And one is that I think it's really important 5 years later to look at who was responsible for disseminating those rumors and that bad information, and to really analyze just how bad the information was. And some of the key people who were putting out these bogus rumors were folks like C. Ray Nagin, who was the mayor at the time, and Eddie Compass, who was the police chief at the time. And they really need to own up to the fact that they made things worse by spreading false information. And when we interviewed Eddie Compass, he did cop to that. He said, yeah, you know, I will own that. I made serious mistakes in putting out bad information. The mayor's press secretary said the same thing, Sally Foreman. The other piece of this is whether police officers needed to use serious force to restore order. And part of that is that the city was probably not nearly as chaotic as folks thought it was. You know, some of these things, like the reports that you had of officers being shot at while they tried to rescue people, while they were in helicopters or this and that, when you go back and you talk to officers now, 5 years later, they often have a different take on that. And they'll say, look, the shots that were supposedly being fired at rescuers, we now realize were, in all likelihood, often people trying to get the attention of rescuers, trying to make a noise so that the rescuers would know they were there, or people shooting out their roofs because they were trapped up in their attics and they might have had a shotgun or another gun and they were just trying to get out. Sure, there were some awful things that happened. There were some really scary and terrible things that happened during that time. And officers needed to use force where necessary. You know, Officer Kevin Thomas was shot in the head while people were trying to steal from a gas station. That's a terrible thing. It's a terrible, terrible thing. He's got a massive scar where they had to do on the side of his head because they had to do, you know, really super serious brain surgery to save his life. That's horrible. And you encounter an incident like that, obviously officers need to use whatever force is necessary. But what you have are these other cases where it really is not clear that deadly force was necessary. If you have a guy like Keenan McCann, and he's on the I-10 elevated highway with a bunch of other civilians who don't have food, don't have water, are out in the heat, and you have officers come unload 3 assault rifle rounds on him, thinking that he is a criminal of some sort, and saying that he was brandishing a gun, and it turns out, well, actually, Keenan didn't have a gun. Then you have to wonder about whether that was a justified use of force or whether that was an unlawful use of force.
And lastly, AC, have you heard it all from federal investigators? Have they told you whether your reporting along with our partners helped motivate them to look into the New Orleans Police Department?
You know, the U.S. Attorney for Eastern Louisiana, Jim Letton, went on the record with us for our Frontline documentary and said, you know, thanks for doing that reporting. It was a catalyst for us on the Henry Glover matter to investigate that. And what we know is that when we've published stories that have credible information that there may have been unlawful uses of force by the police, that we have subsequently heard that the federal Department of Justice is investigating those matters.
That was Qadiya Muhammad talking to A.C. Thompson about the latest developments in the Law and Disorder series. You can read all of the reports in the series at ProPublica.org/NOLA. And at the New Orleans Times-Picayune website as well. Go to pbs.org/frontline to watch the video investigation. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast, and special thanks to Qadiya Muhammad and A.C. Thompson. We'll see you next week.